In the last several Sundays, we have studied the statements that Jesus made from the cross. And we've kind of gone in order of most of them, but we left out the third thing that Jesus said because I thought that it showed his attitude towards honoring his mother. And I thought it would be an appropriate thing for us to study this morning. And so what we're going to, we've noticed that in the statements that Jesus made, we saw forgiveness from the cross, and we saw salvation from the cross, we saw suffering from the cross, we saw victory from the cross. We combined some of the seven statements, but this morning I want us to look at the third thing Jesus actually said, but to understand his affection from the cross, and in that we see his concern for his mother Mary. And so the primary text that we'll look at is John 19, verses 25 and 26. And what those verses say, perhaps you can see it on the screen there. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene." Now, it's possible, if you want to know how to find people who disagree, talk to Bible scholars. And you can find a lot of a disagreement. There are Bible scholars, some suggest that this list of ladies' names includes two people. Some suggest that it includes three people, and some that it includes four people. It has to do with how many appositions we have. Is that the right word, Dr. Mills? Apposition? All right, thank you. I wanted to make sure I got that right. An apposition is a word that renames a noun. For example, if we said our first president, George Washington, had wooden teeth or whatever, I don't know, but, you know, was the first president. That you know, George Washington would be an apposition referring back to, and the same thing we see here. If there's if Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister are the primary people, and by this time most scholars do agree that Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, had passed away. And so it's possible that when it says Mary, the wife of Clopas, it's renaming Mary's, Jesus' mother, and saying that she is now Mary, the wife of Clopas, and then Mary Magdalene would be Mary's sister. Anyway, I'll just spare you all the details and tell you that I think the best explanation is that the list mentions four different ladies, and we'll just go with that, okay? I just wanted to give you just the tiniest bit of biblical criticism before we continued with the main part of the message. Look at verse 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home." This has got to be one of the most tragic experiences, if not the most tragic experience, than any parent ever witnessed for their child. Mary was the one who had raised Jesus since he was a baby. She was the one who had kissed his brow when he was a tiny infant. She was the one that picked him up when he fell down. Like somebody earlier, one of our children hit their head on the door back there. She was the one that comforted him when he hit his head on things when he was growing up. And now she is observing her son on the cross, giving his life in our place. And she is experiencing the pain that any parent would experience seeing their child go through something like that. Sometimes it's easy for us to read the accounts and not think about what it must have been like for those parents who to see, especially Mary, to see the experience of what Jesus was enduring as he hung on the cross. But I think it's important that we pause to think about that. And this morning, I just have a few things that I want us to consider in relation to this. Just six quick ideas. I know when you hear a preacher mention six somethings, you get nervous. But don't get nervous. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that what's happening here is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Simeon. When Jesus was first born, after 8 days, they carried him to the temple because that was the custom that they were supposed to follow in those days. And Simeon saw the baby Jesus, and he said in Luke 2, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then he turned to Mary and he said, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So here at the cross, Mary is experiencing the prophecy that Simeon made when Jesus was a very new infant about what was going to happen in her life in relation to Jesus. Before we continue, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ that you made throughout the Old Testament, and how so many of them, all of them that related to his first coming, have been uniquely fulfilled. And Father, as we study this passage this morning, we pray that you would help us to realize again how real the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was, and how he gave us such a great and perfect example of how children should honor their parents. And Father, I pray that you would help all of us to honor our parents in the way that we should. And if our parents are no longer with us, I pray that we will always be thankful for the way they taught us the truth about Jesus and about how we could know you and know what it is to be your children. Father, we give you this time this morning and ask that you would bless our study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we said, the fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy was the first of these things. Another one, though, is the perfect example for children. Some people have the idea that the verses in the Old Testament that say, children, honor your father and mother. What's significant, first of all, I might ask, about the command to honor the father and mother? It's the first commandment with a promise, right? And somebody else said what the promise was back here. I got an overachiever telling what the promise actually was. But that's right. In the New Testament, it says that it was the first commandment with a promise. And the promise was that if you honor your father and mother, you'll have a long life of experiencing the blessings of God. Sometimes I wonder if that's because part of the things in the Old Testament, for some disobedience, they stoned children. And maybe it's just saying, hey, if you honor your father and mother, you're going to make it out of childhood, out of adolescence. Maybe that's what it was saying. No, I'm just kidding. It was talking about being blessed by God throughout your life because of honoring your father and your mother. But a lot of people have the idea that that commandment is for children only. But it is for children as long as we have parents. As long as we have parents, we should honor our father and mother. Not just when we're young, but throughout our lives. You know, there was a time when it seemed like, perhaps, Jesus was, at least, we wouldn't say he was dishonoring his parents, because that would have been a sin, and he had none. But there was a time when Jesus caused his parents to be very anxious about his behavior. There was a time when Jesus was 12 years old and his family had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when they got ready to leave, his parents, Mary and Joseph, they thought Jesus was with them. And so they traveled a whole day's journey before they realized that he wasn't with them. And so they hurried back to Jerusalem to find him. And it says they were when they found him, they said, don't you know that we've been looking for you anxiously? And why is it that you think at that particular time they would have been looking for him anxiously? And I don't know if you thought about it, but it was probably the first time ever that he wasn't already where they expected him to be. And I don't know about you, sometimes my children are not where I expect them to be. But this was probably the first time that had happened with Jesus. And sometimes it's some people kind of get the idea, they misunderstand exactly how Jesus responded and what it means. What he said was, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? G. Campbell Morgan, a preacher in the early 20th century, what he said, what Jesus was saying there was something like this. I think it's a great explanation. He said, Jesus was saying to his mother Mary, don't you know that if I was going to be anywhere else besides with you, it would be because I'm doing something to serve my Father in heaven? That's kind of the attitude, the idea of what Jesus was expressing here. But then it says, he went back with them and submitted himself to them. And for the rest of his growing up years, there probably never was another time where they were anxiously looking for him because he was always right where he was supposed to be. He had honored his parents throughout his life. And now as he hangs on the cross, realizing that his time on earth is about to end, not permanently at the cross, because we all know that he was resurrected 3 days later. But after that, he stayed 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. And so he realized that someone would need to care for his mother. I say realized. People are going to criticize me after church. Jesus realized something because he always knew everything. Y'all don't realize how much critique I get for, you know, things like this. And so that's why I try to go back and correct those things while I'm here. But Jesus, knowing that he was about to ascend into heaven and knowing that his mother, as most scholars do believe, that she by this time was a widow, because after the incident when Jesus was 12, we never read anything else about Joseph in his life, and he probably had passed away by this time. And so Jesus is placing his mother Mary in the care of John, one of his disciples. And it's kind of interesting, if you think about this, John would later write the book of Revelation, which has much to do with revealing the truth about Jesus. And having lived and cared for Mary since the time of the crucifixion, he probably had a lot of insight into what Jesus was like in his growing up years that he got from Mary that the other disciples never had. And it was probably helpful for him in what he would write later about Jesus and his life. Number three, at this point, John, it's obvious because I just talked about John, but John had returned to the Savior's side. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples, "All of you are going to be offended because of me." And they all agreed with Jesus. Someone laughed. No, they didn't agree with Jesus. They said, in fact, Peter said, "Lord, I will never deny you." And in one of the Gospels it said, "And so said all the other disciples." So Peter said it first, but all the rest of them, "Lord, we will never deny you." But every one of them did deny him. All of them fled from him. Probably next to the abandonment by his own heavenly Father, one of the hardest parts of the cross for Jesus would have been the experience that all those who had walked with him for 3 years had deserted him. But here, in this point, John had realized what had happened and he had come back. And here he was at the cross with Jesus, his mother, and other ladies who were there. And what's interesting, and the point I want to make, and this is the only point really about this, is Jesus said, "You're going to desert me," and they did. And now John had come back. And you would think if there was ever a time for a harsh correction, this would have been it. But the first thing Jesus does with John is commissions him to take care of his mother. Listen, the lesson for us is this. There may be some people here today, and maybe you don't always go to church. Maybe you're here today because you're here with your mom. I don't know. I don't know everyone here, and I don't know your hearts. Don't know anyone's heart, so I don't know your situation. But if that's true, I just want to say to you that just like Jesus did with John, when John came back, Jesus immediately gave him a tremendous responsibility in serving him. When we come back to the Lord, if we've been away from the Lord and we come back, there are things he has for us to do. He will welcome us back when we come back to him. It's not he wants you to come back and he's going to say, "I told you, you should." It's not that. There are things he has for us to do in serving him. And when we come back to him, what we will find is a loving Savior who welcomes us back into a close relationship with him and gives us opportunities to serve him. And I just encourage you in that. If that's where you are in life, come back to walking closely with the Savior, and you will find him to be your closest friend, and you will be you will find him willingly giving you opportunities to serve him. That's number three. Number four, Jesus is prudence. What we mean by this is how he understood exactly what was necessary at this point in time. Jesus knew that there was no one better to take care of his mother than John. And he was commissioning John to do something that John would be taking his place, the responsibility of him as the son. Some people say, why didn't Jesus ask one of his earthly brothers or sisters to take care of his mom? And probably the reason is that during his life, during his ministry on earth, none of his earthly brothers and sisters believed in him. None of them believed that he was the Messiah. And so Jesus was commissioning someone who did believe that he was the Messiah, his disciple John, to care for his mom. But one of the things that's interesting about this is, it says at the end of this passage that John took Mary to his own house and cared for her from that moment forward. Do you remember what happens after the resurrection? Peter and John go to the tomb to see what had happened. And John is younger, so he gets there first, and he stops at the opening to the tomb. Peter gets there after that, and Peter, as he always did, just rushes right in. And then John looks inside the tomb, and it says that he saw the evidence of the resurrection. He saw what was there, and he believed. And then it says that John rushed back home. Have you ever thought about why he rushed back home? Can you imagine that there would be anybody who would be more happy to hear about the resurrection than John himself? Mary was at his home. It said he had taken her to his own house to care for her. And as soon as John believed the truth about the resurrection, the first thing he did was run back home to tell Mary the truth of what he had seen. And it's interesting just to think about that. Jesus knew how this would happen, and we see his prudence in connecting John with the care of his mother. Number five, spiritual relationships, spiritual responsibilities must not ignore responsibilities that we have in our families. That's the idea. Jesus was accomplishing the greatest spiritual act that anyone on earth has ever accomplished. He was giving his life in place of every sinful person, and that's all of us, who have ever lived. He was dying and paying the penalty for our sin. He was doing the greatest thing that could ever be done, and in the middle of it all, he was still taking care of his mom. He was still taking care of his family. There is no spiritual work that should ever lead anyone to ignore the responsibilities they have to care for their families. Missionaries who fail to care for their children do not honor God in that. Ladies who get so busy in the affairs of their own lives that they cannot care for their children do not honor God. Pastors who are so involved with their responsibilities in a church that they fail to train their children do not honor God. And Jesus was one who honored God even as he did the greatest spiritual thing that anyone had ever done in accomplishing our salvation. And number six, and I'll go ahead and invite our musicians to come for our invitation. As I mentioned this last one, how Jesus was fully God and fully man, as he was paying for our sin, grappling with the powers of darkness, he still had perfect love for his human responsibilities. It's very similar to things that I've already said. But Jesus was not ostentatious in what he did. In other words, he didn't do things to be showy, to get a lot of attention. A lot of the miracles he did were in homes. A lot of the times when he healed someone was as he walked along the way and just took care of the needs that he saw. And here it is also at the cross. He was performing the greatest work in history. He was engaged in doing that which in comparison to creating a world fades into insignificance, but he doesn't fail to take care of his mom. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we cannot fail to take care of our mother and father. Would you stand, please?